You're listening to PorchDrinking.com's The Porchcast, brought to you by First Draft Taproom and Kitchen, located in the heart of Denver's Rhino Art District at 1309 26th Street, featuring a pour-your-own draft system with over 40 incredible beers to sample from. Also, Made by Chalk, who can help with all of your brewery branding, logo design, and website needs. And now, The Porchcast.
All right, everyone, and welcome to episode 52 of The Porchcast. We've got a very special broadcast to you tonight. This is Tristan Chan, host of The Porchcast. My other co-hosts aren't able to join tonight, but like I said, we've got a very special edition because we're coming to you from 14er Brewing, who's joining us to tell us a little bit of some pretty exciting news. We've got Nato Franciscato and Andrew Kazmarek, the two co-founders of 14er. Guys, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Tristan.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Now, for those who aren't familiar, give us a little bit on your background. Tell us a little bit about how 14er Brewing came about.
Yeah, absolutely. So 14er Brewing Company is just about 2 years old now. The unique thing about our story is we actually launched distribution first. So we started selling six packs exclusively to liquor stores, a few bar accounts, basically in the Highlands, Denver neighborhoods. To kind of kick the brand off. Shortly after that, we took home a gold medal at the Great American Beer Festival for our Rocky Mountain Saison. That really kind of spiked our interest for finding some brick and mortar. Searched all over town and kind of stumbled upon the location that we're sitting in this afternoon, 2801 Walnut Street.
Yeah, that's super exciting. Congratulations again on that medal. Now, when you all first started, you all didn't have a facility. That's, like you said, very unique. You all were brewing through your friends over at
Crazy Mountain,
right?
Yeah,
okay, cool. Tell us about that process and what it was like kind of, you know, flipping the model on a brewery, I guess, coming at it from a very different approach.
Super exciting. You know, with our perspective, we wanted to make this brewery ours, and the only way we could do that at age 22 was to find some friends who could brew for us with our collaboration. So we spent all of our time working with Crazy Mountain to get our recipes down and train their staff and their brewers to make what we thought was the perfect beer. I think we were relatively lucky winning a gold medal through that and showed that that worked and paid off for us. But we really wanted to make a brand at a 14er and found this location down here and have been working for the last year and a half with the city of Denver to get construction permits down here and turn this into the future home of brewing and everything else down here. But right now it's just a tap room here. Sure. At 2801. And we've been really in searches for our own microbrewery, you know, small production to keep that fresh rotation going, because we do such large batches over at Crazy Mountain, and that's where we do all of our canning, and we can do this wholesale, but we really believe in the small batch, that the true craft of what we do, and we want to brew, you know, three different beers a day on a system, and that's what really excites us about the future of 14er.
Cool. Now, before we jump into that future and kind of breaking that really exciting news, I want to go back even further. Now, you all, when we first met, you all told me a little bit about how you all first met, you two in particular, and also how you got into brewing to begin with. Tell us, share a little bit of that story.
Yeah, absolutely. So Nato and I went to high school together at Wheat Ridge, just west of Denver. We played lacrosse together, and that's basically, you know, how Nato and I met. We started getting involved in a little bit of home brewing. We're making some root beer. We kind of fermented one of those batches a little bit stronger than we had anticipated. and that kind of kicked off a thing in our minds. It was like, hey, well, maybe we should make some real beer. Uh-huh. And that's where this whole thing got started.
I'll take credit for that. You know, Andrew was a little hesitant, but I thought, you know, beer seemed like a better idea than root beer. So we were
like, let's put the beer in root beer.
Exactly. We're on the same page.
Although this was well before Not Your Father's Root Beer, so we may have gotten it a little twisted.
Yeah. And we won't even mention the age at that point, but you all were totally doing it from experimental purposes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no consumption at all.
Yeah, we really didn't care, you know, about drinking the beer. It was about experimental, the science of it.
Yeah.
You know, being able to brew three times a day throughout high school, or three times a week, I'm sorry.
I was like, wow.
It was super exciting for us, you know, and learning, and that's how we grew. And realistically, the beer was so terrible when we were, you know, at these ages that we weren't even willing to drink it.
Sure.
It was just that experiment and that growth process. And I think brewing so many times a week over so many years really allowed us to brew the beer we wanted and learn. By the time, you know, we hit drinking age, we felt ready to start a brewery. Mm-hmm. There weren't many people willing to support said brewery for a 21-year-old. So we really felt like we needed to do it ourselves, and that's what we've done so far, and we really believe in that model.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, that's interesting that you bring that up. Did you face some challenges coming into this industry from such a young age? Do you feel like, I guess, you know, it's hard to break into the brewing industry to begin with, but for someone as young as, you know, 22, you mentioned starting a brewery, was it hard to get taken seriously by investors and even, I guess, people who are, I guess, in the industry to begin with?
Oh, absolutely. I think that's kind of, some of the core challenges that we faced when we were starting 14er, and I think that's probably the catalyst for the way that we started this business model and the fact that it was distribution first.
Yeah.
And we were kind of able to build a brand, put a brand together in forms of packaging and six packs without having a physical location, and that was just built on the fact that, you know, someone that's young in this industry, you know, is not going to be able to walk into a bank or talk to investors and, you know, kind of get that amount of capital that is required to get a physical location built with stainless steel and full on brew house.
Not that we didn't try, but no one wanted to give a 22-year-old that said they've been brewing for, you know, 6+ years alone. That's just the fact of the matter. So we decided to pull what minuscule 401ks we had at age 22 and get this going, and that's hence the wholesale first. So we've really built the business that we currently have off of cash flow from when we started and sweat equity. We haven't paid ourselves, we don't plan on paying ourselves for a very long time, and that's because we believe in 14er, we believe in the beer we're producing, and we really want to grow this brand into something that everyone can be proud of, not just ourselves.
Totally. Now, even in this, when you started this Walnut Street location, you didn't really go at it from an orthodox standpoint either.
Sure.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, you know, you were here first, and you know, you were one of the main guys that we talked to kind of get that location kicked off. And for us, a year ago, it was all about crowlers and samples. We were open. I think our posted hours were 2 hours on Friday, 2 hours on Saturday. Mm-hmm. You know, definitely the opposite of the orthodox. And for us, it was just another way to kind of get that slow sales growth and get that kind of core portfolio of brands that we had already been selling in the distribution network out to more people and more fans.
Yeah, because you all were just sampling the beer.
Yeah, exactly.
It wasn't even really a tap room. You could come in and try the beer, but and you could also take beer. You could buy beer to go.
Yeah,
correct?
Beer to go. You know, our core six packs, crowlers to go, that sort of thing. And we've really kind of parlayed that. You know, there's a lot of changes that have come down to this Walnut location, and we've really turned it into a home base. You know, that we feel awesome and proud to show, you know, our friends and family and, you know, our greatest fans. And we've always tried to get as much specialty beer on tap that's only available here, you know, for that loyal following that we've had since the beginning.
Because you all have a core brand,
yeah.
Of core lineup of about how many now?
So we do four core beers that we can year round. And then we try to do one or two seasonals, and some of those seasonals are, you know, either a rotating IPA or some sort of kind of hyper-limited seasonal release. But working over at Crazy Mountain, that's always been the challenge for us to kind of, you know, crank out these new beers and these new cans and these new branding recipes, either on a 100-barrel batch size or a 50-barrel batch size.
Sure.
But it's something that we've had a little bit of opportunity to mess around with. You know, we've kind of had some heavy hitters like the Key Lime Pie Cream Ale. It was probably our best known limited release beer, and getting ready to launch that this summer in six pack cans. So really excited about that for sure.
Really cool. Now, you know, you talk about investment of 50 barrel batches and 100 barrel batches. Was it, and also taking into consideration how crowded this, you know, shelf space is out there. Did you all face some challenges there and kind of getting off the ground and getting people to understand your all's model?
There's no doubt. The biggest struggle of going to, and I think it's part of the win of being in Colorado as well, of having these independent liquor stores up to this point that we can go in and visit. But you walk into a liquor store and you're like, I'm the owner, I'm 23, try this amazing beer, please sell it in your store.
Sure.
They're more than skeptical, to say the least.
Absolutely.
So the gold medal at the Grimming Beer Festival in, what was that, our second month, Andrew?
Really helped to validate, yeah.
Helped validate. And, you know, it's walking in saying, hey, I grew up down the street. You know, we're very local in this community. The beer's amazing. You know how you know? GABF medal. But can
that,
you please?
That definitely helps.
It helps a lot. And I think that really helped get us into the liquor store shelves. But no liquor store is going to carry you if you don't sell off the shelf.
Sure.
So we put so much time and so much dedication into these stores to grow the in-store sales. We would just stand there in front of coolers and say, have you heard of 14er? Have you tried 14er? Mm-hmm. Can you pretty please buy a 14er? and that's really how we grew this brand.
Absolutely.
Is ourselves on the street pounding, and it's what we want to continue to do.
Yeah, that's still our day-to-day. I mean, three festivals coming up this Saturday. You know, hand sells, getting out there, giving out pint glasses, you know, really getting those that beer in people's mouths. And you know,
and I know, I've seen you at pretty much every single festival I've been to this summer, pounding the pavement yourselves. So props to you guys. And, you know, Andrew, I think last time we talked, you were talking about, you know, taking phone calls as you're doing deliveries in between store visits and whatnot.
Yeah.
Tell us a little, give us a little insight into that.
Yeah, you know, so I think for us, there's just so many crazy things going on, and we're, you know, self-distributed. I think that we speak volumes about what that takes to, you know, really push that amount of cases out. I know Nato has 101 cases record in one of his personal cars before we had a delivery van.
108 in my Toyota Avalon. Just FYI, it works.
Yeah.
That car is no longer with us.
It blew up. It might have been my fault.
Pushing the limits in every sense of the word.
Yeah, but for us, you know, being self-distributed, I think really speaks about us going into an account and taking care of that account and being the sales rep, and, you know, either Nato being the delivery driver, but at the same time he has his own accounts that he's taking care of, or,
sure,
you know, myself coming in and doing the deliveries and, you know, really having that one-on-one interaction with those beer buyers. Has been huge for us, and those guys have really taken us to the next level. I mean, we couldn't have done any of what we're talking about right now without selling a lot of Mount Massive, a lot of Rocky Mountain Saison, and, you know, getting really good shelf placements and getting to know a lot of these beer buyers. They've really, really taken care of us for sure.
That's fantastic.
And from the same perspective, we tried to take care of them. We have not expanded past our roughly 100 liquor stores since our immediate launch. And the whole idea was, there's only two of us.
Sure.
I can't expand. I want to make sure these stores are taken care of and they want to carry my product and it works for them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way we want to take our brand forward.
Really cool. All right, guys, we're going to take a real quick break. But after the break, we're going to quit beating around the bush. We're going to get to the news. Very exciting news from 14er Brewing. Once again, we're sitting down with Nato Franciscato and Andrew Kazmarek. You are listening to The Porchcast. Be sure to follow us on all of your mobile devices. You can listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher, and you'll also just from the website, porchdrinking.com. We'll be back in just a moment with 14er Brewing. This is The Porchcast. All right, folks, just a reminder, be sure to join us out at First Draft Taproom and Kitchen. They're sponsors of The Porchcast, located at 1309 26th Street in Denver, Colorado. First Draft and Taproom and Kitchen is a pour-your-own draft system where you can try as much or as little as you like. And throughout the month of July, they've got their annual Summertime Barrel-Aged Beer Series, where they'll be tapping several barrel-aged beers throughout the month, including specialties like Avery's Uncle Jacob, Firestone Walker's Parabola, Fremont's Bee-Bomb and Rusty Nail, as well as River North's Rum Barrel-Aged Quandary and Avarice. So be sure to check out First Draft Taproom and Kitchen, located at 1309 26th Street here in Denver, Colorado. Hey folks, this is Tristan over at The Porchcast. I'm excited to tell you about the inaugural Red Rocks Beer Festival taking place August 19th at Red Rocks Amphitheater. The event is going to feature the Cult, Stone Temple Pilots, and Bush all performing, in addition to a tasting event that will feature breweries from around the state. Once again, that's August 19th at Red Rocks Amphitheater. Find out more at redrocksonline.com. This is the inaugural Red Rocks Beer Festival. Alrighty, folks, we are back once again. This is The Porchcast, episode 52, broadcasting from 14er Brewing. We are sitting down with Andrew Kazmarek and Nato Franciscato. Guys, we have some very exciting news to break. I know a few weeks ago you all announced that you're adding a Sunnyside location. Tell us a little bit about that first, and then we'll jump into the rest.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Walnut location really inspired us without having a brew house here. You know, we thought we were going to kind of get kicked around by some intense craft beer fans without having a brew house here, without having production. But we've really just told a true story here, and the fans and the people couldn't have been more receptive. And so that kind of kicked off a thought in Nato's and our mind that we could, you know, potentially look at some other locations around Denver to make sure that we were still maintaining that brick and mortar when eventually we do shut down the Rhino location for the ultimate construction that we've been talking about for some time. And That kicked off, you know, our search for a second taproom location that didn't have a brew house, but still kind of focused on those 20 specialty hyper-rotating taps, you know, very one-off beer projects. And, you know, we looked all over town, and we were really lucky to find a fantastic location at 41st and Pecos, basically a development project with a landlord on site that's got a ton of other tenants right next to us, which is going to be fantastic for the brand.
And you mentioned about 20 taps going in there. Can you give us a little bit of an insight as to like what some of those will look like, what your plan is for the diversity of beer lineup?
Absolutely. So we run four core beers as well as two constant seasonals. So we expect those six taps to be relatively set throughout all of our locations.
Absolutely.
But kind of with this big news we're going, we want to do micro brews on a very small scale. Mm-hmm. And we think, you know, if you have a brew house to provide that, why not provide it to a couple tap rooms instead of just one tap room?
Sure.
So we were really excited to provide the rest of those taps as hyper rotating, you know, maybe something like a 7-barrel batch. Mm-hmm. You push out to two tap rooms, that'll delete in a week or two. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's gone.
Yeah.
And you can hyper rotate that through again, and that's what we were looking for, is 20 taps, maybe a few specialties that are only available at Sunnyside there on Pecos. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of others that are maybe just available at just the two 14er tap rooms or the three 14er tap rooms that exist. Mm-hmm. And just keep it exciting and fun, and really what people want. Do they want to come in and try new beer?
Yeah. Now let's get right to it. You kind of alluded to it there, three tap rooms. Tell us a little bit about what's happening with your next big announcement.
So I guess that's the big news. We couldn't be more excited. We've been in this process to remodel this 2801 Walnut space into a brew house for the last year and a half with the city, while always looking at what the market has to offer.
Sure.
And of course, we're very sad to see breweries leave our neighborhood down here in Rhino. You know, we've seen it happen from Zephyr to Barrels, which leads right into what we did. We purchased Barrels Brewing Company. We couldn't be more excited, right, Andrew?
Yeah, that's right. Happened a few weeks ago. We've actually been over there operating as is. We've gotten three batches brewed in tank right now, and it's
really?
Just absolutely, absolutely exciting for us.
That's,
you know,
fantastic.
To get our hands on deck and just, you know, really dive into making some crazy experimental stuff on a 7-barrel batch size. So there's a lot of potential moving forward that we're going to talk about with that space. But for us to walk into a turnkey operation, you know, that has a brew house on the cement, is really a dream come true for Nato and I right now, for sure.
Absolutely. Now, what can people expect from that former Barrels location moving forward?
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, Barrels made some really amazing beer, and that was never the issue down there, and we're really sad to see him go. But from a 14er perspective, the Barrels branding and naming doesn't have a lot of value for what we're trying to accomplish in the future. So we are going to rebrand that tap room. Mm-hmm. And we're going to make that into 14er's main taproom and production facility. It's going to be a 7-barrel. It's going to be specialty. It's going to be so fun. You know, 30-ish, you know, 20, 30 taps down there, mm-hmm. Hyper-rotating. Push some of that beer that's brewed in that space out to the Pecos facility that we're talking about getting open here by wintertime. And really move that forward. So we're going to remodel that space a little bit. Get it to be a 14er type of spot. Work on a massive beer garden. That's the biggest thing we're excited about.
Yeah.
Is that it had this massive parking lot that was unutilized that can really move forward and take and go that route with it.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're just kind of building on that Barrels infrastructure. You know, they have a fantastic pergola with hops growing up right now. But for us, it's really, you know, activating that entire parking lot on the weekdays after business hours and then the full weekend hours. So, you know, movable beer garden, movable plants and trees, movable taps out there, that sort of thing, and really just transforming that space so that it has a whole new curb appeal. And then I think from the inside perspective, you know, everything that we do as a brand is all about the outdoors and mm-hmm. this awesome natural sunlight that we have coming in Colorado all the time. So, you know, new glass garage doors up there, skylights, really just brighten up that Barrels tap room and really just kind of transform that space. So it's more of a seamless transition from that beautiful beer garden mm-hmm. Into the taps.
And then also production is going to go pretty much. Are you all going to be moving most of production from Crazy Mountain, or will you still utilize that?
I wish we could.
Yeah.
You know, we brew so much beer over there at Crazy Mountain.
Yeah.
All the canning facilities and the infrastructure that exists over there as the largest brewery in Denver, which it is. we're not ready to move away from.
Sure.
A seven barrel system is pretty tiny from our perspective. We think it's ideal for these specialty beers, keeping the hyper rotating taps in our particular tap rooms and maybe a few bars around town.
Sure.
But when it comes to canning, I don't know that we really have the space down there.
Sure.
So we're going to continue to utilize Crazy Mountain for what they've offered and what they've done such a great job of really brewing our core beers for us.
Cool. Now, taking it back kind of full circle, with the announcement of the facility down at the former Barrels facility, this facility that we're in now is going to also see some transformation as well. Can you tell us a little bit about
that?
Yeah,
definitely. So what we're going to do here is transform this space into sour production exclusively. Mm-hmm. So we really want to build on the character of this building. I mean, it's got a ton of incredible history. Gorgeous barrel roof, exposed brick everywhere, and so we want to play off that with fooders, open oak fermentation vessels, and really just embrace that natural fermentation process in this space. So it's going to be a ton of specialty, sour, really passion projects that are on a much smaller scale that you're only going to be able to get at this 2801 Walnut location. And definitely something that's been a huge passion of Nato and I getting into this business that we've never really had an opportunity to do. So we're incredibly excited about how Walnut fits into this barrels deal and how we can kind of collab these two spaces in Rhino. Which is a fantastic culture and community down here as it is.
Yeah, pretty soon you're just going to have to build a pipe system between the two facilities. And just,
absolutely.
I mean, I'm pretty sure Straffe Hendrix has already done that out there in Belgium, so I think there's a model that exists, so I think we're ready to explore.
It. Yeah. Why reinvent the wheel? We can just borrow from Belgium like we always do.
Yeah.
No, that's super exciting, guys. Congratulations on the big announcements.
Thank you.
You know, for you all are only 2 years old. As a brewery, or less than 2 years old, I guess, how does it feel to have such big announcements with both of these two locations in such a short amount of time? And then what can people expect next from 14er?
I mean, I think that's the biggest thing that's exciting for us coming up. It's all about, you know, taking care of that loyal customer base that we've had from the beginning and that's, you know, really supported some of our core brands. We're looking at this opportunity to really get some new beers and push the innovation factor. And, you know, that's what's all about, what's all exciting in craft beer right now is pushing these trends and pushing these boundaries with flavor profiles and creating these unique beers. And we haven't had a ton of time or a ton of opportunity to play around with that. And so we're incredibly excited about the future of these projects.
Sure.
We've been so package focused based on what we can do, not what we want to do. Mm-hmm. And we've been very lucky to find success in that market and really build off and grow into what we are now just here 2 years deep. But with that said, let's face it, Andrew, we won a gold medal for a chili beer that we've brewed over 200 times before we were 18 possibly. We just want to brew really weird stuff and hope other people enjoy it as well. And I think this gives us the opportunity to show what we're about as a brand that we've been slightly restricted at. But we really, you know, moving forward with 14er, I think these locations down here in Denver and Rhino will really show what 14er is about. And we're going to continue to expand the packaging and the wholesale market and hope we can come visit some other states very soon with some of these beers and maybe give you a few limited stuff as well. Because that's where we see 14er. We see it as a nationwide, worldwide brand, and we want the world to enjoy it. So the quicker we can get it to you, that's what we want to accomplish.
That's awesome. Well, congratulations once again. I really appreciate you guys joining us and sharing your story. Anything else you all want to tell the folks out there?
You know, if you want to come visit Barrels before we close it down, come see it. We got all their beer on tap still. We've been brewing a lot of beer in there, trying to get ready to convert to 14er. But for the next few months, it will be Barrels. We're super excited about the beer they had in there. It's still delicious beer. And come visit us before we remodel and change it. As well as, you know, come visit us down here at Walnut. Beautiful space that's getting ready to be remodeled this winter. And we're really excited about the future of this sour production facility as well.
Really cool stuff, guys. Thanks again for joining us once again. This is Andrew Kazmarek and Nato Franciscato, co-founders of 14er Brewing, making some big moves in the Denver neighborhood. Who knows? The next interview we have, you'll probably be announcing locations outside of the state.
Hopefully outside the country.
Yeah.
We got our hands full right now, so thank you so much for having us here.
You're the next Greg Cook. We'll be announcing Berlin here very soon. So thanks again, guys. Really appreciate you guys joining us. be sure to check out 14er Brewing. Again, you can get their beer in liquor stores all across Denver and Colorado. And then also be sure to check out their upcoming location down at Barrels and also here here on Walnut as well. So thanks again, guys.
Thank you, Tristan. Appreciate it.
Alrighty, folks, just a reminder, be sure to support our sponsors, First Draft Taproom and Kitchen, located at 1309 26th Street. This month, they are collaborating with Alpine Dog Brewing on a hazy IPA. They've done several different versions for the month. The first one is using Vic's Secret Hops, so be sure to try this special collaboration with Alpine Dog Brewery at First Draft Taproom and Kitchen. Once again, it is a pour-your-own draft system, so you can try as much or as little as you'd like. Think of it as an adult version of a Froyo shop. And once again, that's First Draft Taproom and Kitchen, located at 1309 26th Street.
We also want to take this opportunity to remind you about our friends at Made by Chalk. Chalk specializes in creating brand experiences for the craft brewing industry. From product packaging to websites, apps, and events, Chalk's services are tailored for independently owned craft breweries, maltsters, and industry-related consumer products. If you're looking for premium branding for your brewery or a new concept for your web design needs, visit madebychalk.com. Once again, that's madebychalk.com.
Once again, this has been the Porchcast, episode 52. Be sure to follow us on Stitcher, iTunes, and all of your listening devices. You can subscribe, and if you like what you're listening to, give us a little positive rating. That'll help us to get found by more people. Be sure to join us next episode. Hopefully, we'll have another one to you in the next few weeks or so. This has been the Porchcast on PorchDrinking.com.